Hello, everyone. Today's episode is on St. Hildegard von Bingen's concept of viriditas, or greening. It's a very beautiful concept, and I think it ties in to a lot of wonderful teachings that we've already spoke of so far in our mysticism series, but just a lot of key, beautiful insight that we can use for our own spiritual lives. If you haven't listened to our first Hildegard episode, I recommend you do. You don't need to get anything from this, but it gives some good backstory. Also, there is so much that we can discuss on Hildegard. She was a composer, she was a prophet, she was an abbess, so much. So there is going to be much more content on the Patreon. We're going to do a downloadable PDF on some of her herbal remedies. We are going to look at some of her prophetic writings. We're going to do some readings from some of her work. So much more. A novena. Tune in. Join. Really great community there. Also a very active Discord server and about 2 years worth of prayers, blessings, and bonus material. Please join us. Either way, my friends, I am excited to give you another glimpse into the beautiful mind of St. Hildegard. God bless you and enjoy. Peace be with you and with your spirit. Welcome to another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue. I am your host, W. So according to St. Hildegard von Bingen, there is a creative and animated force that is always at play. Even as I speak, even as you listen to this, there is this force that is sustaining us, animating us, and fostering life for us. Imagine the same spirit that rolled over the waves in Genesis, giving them life, which then gave life to the creatures in the water, the moon and the stars, and so on. Or imagine the breath that was breathed into Adam, causing him to rise. And for Hildegard, that same breath breathed into the cosmos isn't only alive, but it's active, it's sustaining. It can grow even more vivid and more deep and shine even more vibrantly. Hildegard calls this concept viriditas, which roughly translates to greening. One could make the analogy or the comparison that it's quite similar to the process of photosynthesis or the process of a plant blooming. There's a greening force, and God is giving us this greening force that animates us and assists us in growth. Though, before we get into Hildegard's understanding and writing on greening, let's talk about some other uses. She certainly popularized the use in her own way, and she really made it her own. However, this concept can be seen in other medieval and early writers as well. The first one that comes to mind is St. Gregory the Great, and he notably mentions greening in his exegesis on the Book of Job, in which he spoke about how before Christ's arrival, the land was in a state of desolation, or ereditas. But Christ was like a rain, giving the whole world a viriditas, or greening. However, Hildegard's use of this word, of this term, it's much more mystical, it's much more holistic and approachable. For Hildegard, greening encompassed the divine presence and creative power that infused the entire natural world. It wasn't just a state of affairs before Christ and after Christ. She saw it as a manifestation of God's life-giving energy, and it's constantly being renewed and sustained. It is constantly sustaining and renewing the entire universe. Just as plants thrive and grow through the nurturing power of sunlight, Hildegard saw all beings as sustained and animated by the spiritual greening force of God. She would closely associate these terms with growth, fertility, and healing. And it wasn't just this source of vitality, or it wasn't just this source of restoration for the physical realm, but also the emotional realm, the spiritual realm, and the intellectual aspects of all of human life. Before we jump in even further, here are a few quotes from Hildegard on the essence of greening that I think would help. O most honored greening force, you who roots in the sun, you who lights up in shining serenity, within a wheel that earthly excellence fails to comprehend. Another, and I saw the brightness of the likeness of the living light and the purity of the spiritual essence. This is the true viriditas, or greening. When the divine light illuminates the human mind, it calls forth the fervor of the greening power in all things. So those are just a few ways she has used it. And it should also be known that she never did this big writing or treatise on greening. It was rather just a way she described God. So we're inferring a lot of things here, but she also lays it out as you've just read. But I'd like to tie this in to some of the other themes we've discussed before leading up to this episode. One thing that I personally have seen as a comparison is viriditas and theosis, greening and theosis. So if you're unaware of what theosis is, we did mention it in our Experiencing God episode as well as our Mystical Prayer episode. But in short, it's mainly what we're all called to do as Christians, believe it or not, despite many Western Christians never hearing this term. We are called to purify ourselves here on earth and fill ourselves with love and virtue so that we can easily connect with God more easily, both here on earth and in heaven. It's essentially being in a state of grace, a state of grace that allows us to receive God more fully and unite with God more fully. This goes by other names. It goes by divine sonship or divinization. And like I said, we have discussed this in other episodes. But I'm seeing a parallel here. So theosis is this way of elevating our spiritual self, removing these stains of sin. Another terminology that I enjoy is removing, and this sounds very New Age, but I think it's helpful and I think it is biblically and patristically sound, removing the spiritual blockages of sin, right? The Eastern Orthodox would say it's a stain, and that stain stops us from feeling God's presence. A spiritual blockage does the same thing. So theosis is removing those blockages, removing sin, removing stain, so we can feel God. And theosis will gradually enhance our ability to feel grace. And I think there's a lot of parallels there with greening. So through greening as well, prayer, but being in harmony with others, cultivating virtue, and for Hildegard, even living a healthy life, it's going to help us be closer to God. It's going to help our greening. And speaking of health and holistic health, her idea of greening, it goes beyond spiritual health, like I just said. It's about our physical health, too. It's all related. It's all correlated. When you hear words like holistic healing, this is what it means. It means mind, body, and spirit. And that's why for Hildegard, any healing component that she had, it's going to include prayer. It often includes mental rest. And it's also going to include herbal medicine. And because these natural remedies contain that greening or viriditas too. Greening is involved in everything, including herbs, including stones and crystals. If you remember last episode, we talked about her use of herbs and crystals in healing. Then she believed that all of these things have a certain life force to them, and thus they have this greening as well. So by incorporating herbal remedies, by incorporating prayer, by incorporating rest, we are able to get back in touch and feel that sustaining greening within us more fully. And I think, too, since I just touched on life forces and whatnot in nature, I think I need to touch on this. If you have not listened to the Nature Mysticism Trilogy that I did a few weeks ago, we discussed panentheism in Christianity. Christianity is a panentheistic religion, not pantheistic, panentheistic, which simply means that God is present in some way through all of creation and works through all of creation. Therefore, this ties back to greening. In greening, God is in all of these things, sustaining it. Therefore, a lot of similarities there. So, to wrap up this first little overview, we all have these seeds of God within us, and we can water them, we can give them sunlight, and that water and sunlight are prayer, that water and sunlight are going to God, the water and sunlight are sacraments, but it's also living out virtue. It's being kind to one another, loving one another, being kind to our bodies, being kind to ourselves. And thus, we build this greening. So it is something that we can actively do. But there is a passive concept as well, a passive aspect as well, rather. And this is a mystical concept called affective versus effective prayer. We'll get into that in future episodes. Not really important for this. But there is always an active and passive relationship and action going on with the divine. So while you have the active, while you have doing things, which we're all doing already, hopefully, we're just not calling it viraditas or greening, or maybe we're not even calling it theosis, we're just calling it being a good human, you do have the active aspect. But Hildegard's writing also alludes to the passive aspect as well. And I think this is really interesting because it's in line with Scripture, right? Scripture tells us that all things will be returned to God. Or Christ said, when I rise up, I will draw all things back to the Father. This is also mirrored in the writings of Teilhard de Chardin, who has his omega point theory, which, yes, there is a little bit of issues maybe in the science, and there is issues in some of his theology. But the omega point theory is just mirroring what St. Paul and some of the other biblical writers said about how at the end of time, all things will be returning to God. Teilhard just kind of tried to pull some scientific aspects out of that. And this is also seen in the book of Revelation, which we mentioned in the Nature Mysticism episode, where at the end of time, all will sing God's praises, all of creation, the entire cosmos. This can be seen also in Cardinal Ratzinger, aka Pope Benedict, who said that the liturgy at the end of time will just be nature, will just be creation, it will just be the entire cosmos singing the praises of God. There's a natural movement towards this. There's a natural movement towards God. And this is seen in the book of Revelation itself, because at the end times, everything will reunite back to God. So it's natural. And Hildegard speaks of this too. She speaks that greening is also something that is already occurring and is already going somewhere on its own too. So there's active and passive. And this is mainly seen, or it can mainly be inferred, when she speaks about viriditas as rejuvenation. So this implies that if something can be rejuvenated, then it must be desolated at times too. So it speaks about viriditas, but also eruditas, not just greening, but desolation. And I think this is in line with, first, a lot of Scripture, how there's a season for all things. And to continue with her greening metaphor, while there is a spring, there's a winter too. But even in the winter, God's light and sustenance will ensure that we bloom again in the spring. And this is, I would say, a fairly human concept of, you know, life has its ups and downs, but it's a very Christian concept of at times we all have our cross to bear. At times we are all called to sometimes be in heaven, sometimes be in purgatory, sometimes be in hell. I'm using that figuratively. We have our ups and downs. And we have not spoken about things like the dark night of the soul, but in a way, not completely, I think dark night of the soul is misunderstood in some ways, but it speaks on that too. Because sometimes God brings forth desolation for a reason. Maybe God is bringing forth eruditas in a friend or a loved one so we can be the viriditas. They are putting them through desolation so you and I can be the greening that they need to bring forth the hope, bring forth the love and the charity. Or maybe God is bringing forth the desolation so we can find the greening in a new place with a new situation, maybe a new way of prayer, maybe a new focus in our life. That is the natural greening that occurs. Maybe it could just be a season, a winter, and the next harvest will be more bountiful than before. I'm recording this episode around the Feast of the Most Sacred Heart. And I think this concept of greening ties very beautifully with the theology of the Most Sacred Heart. Now, what is the theology of the Most Sacred Heart? It's when we meditate upon God's wounds, we meditate upon the wounds of Christ, we too are wounded in love. And when we are wounded in love, now we feel compelled to heal the wounds of others. This is very similar here. When meditating upon God's love, the greening in us awakens, and we are called to assist in sustaining and building and helping the greening in others. It's active, it's participatory, it speaks on our interconnectedness. What is Christian mysticism, but really what is Christianity? But I'm going to say, what is Christian mysticism? Christian mysticism is an experience of God that increases our love of God and thus increases our love of neighbor. And that is, yes, the Sacred Heart, but that is also greening. That is also the viriditas, where we have a blooming in us, and it drives us to see the same bloom in one another, the interconnectedness in one another. I think that's also a good insight that the Sacred Heart might not always have. Viriditas would say that this blooming, this greening inside of us, it not only makes us closer to God, but it allows us to see that the same greening in us is in one another. The God in me honors the God in you, right? So there are so many things that we could discuss when it comes to Hildegard, and I chose viriditas, I chose greening, because it's a word that you're going to see a lot if you read her writing. But it's also, as we've uncovered, it's a very mystical concept that can be seen from theosis, it can be seen from holistic healing, it can be seen from participatory mysticism, such as seen in the Sacred Heart. So it's a really key concept that I enjoy. And as far as how can we use it in our own lives, which I've been trying to do with these explanatory episodes, I think it's just striving to see the interconnectedness that we have. Now, we can take this a step further and we could think about how Hildegard viewed God in her visions. I discussed this in the previous episode. There were visions, right, where she saw her soul shoot up into the sky. It met God, and then it, like a canopy in the rainforest, goes outwards, connecting with other souls. And every soul is doing that. So all the souls that she saw around her in the world were like trees. But as the trees branched up, their vines, their branches connected. So we are all connected. And yes, spiritually, because we all have the same source, but practically as well, right? Our actions will impact another. How can we do that? How can we ensure that our actions are giving greening rather than desolation? A very simple the very profound and practical use of mysticism by Saint Hildegard. I will also say about Hildegard, on Patreon, on the Discord, we tried to do a book club on her, and it was very hard to find a good book. I feel like people try and make Hildegard into what they want Hildegard to be. And you have that with every great saint from all sides, from all walks of life, from all ideologies. I see it with Padre Pio. I see it with Mary. I see it with Saint Francis. And we see it with Hildegard too. The issue with Hildegard, though, is I feel like the writings have been ongoing by more New Age sources, and there's nothing wrong with that to an extent, before Catholic sources. She just became a doctor of the church. She had been a saint for some time, or she'd been venerated as a saint for some time, but she just became a doctor of the church 10, 11 years ago. So there isn't a lot of more orthodox, or at least even more straightforward, writing on her. I'm not even looking for super orthodox. I'm just looking for straightforward, like non-biased. But I'm bringing this up because you can't really disconnect Hildegard with Christianity. I would say you can't even really disconnect her with the Catholic Church to an extent either. She was a reformer. She stayed with the church to reform it, and she was very loyal to the papacy and loyal to the Benedictines. But I feel like we may have this compulsion to overlook her Christocentricity. Even in this episode, we've talked about greening and we've talked about the interconnectedness, but some of her visions were a little out there, seeing the face of God with a fiery mouth, but that fire breathing forth was actually the greening fire. When it set things on fire, they died, but then they grew back with a greening. And she would say the same thing that St. Gregory the Great said, where this was the fall. The fall was the desolation. And then there was a gradual greening. And that greening was most seen in the birth of Christ. She also mentioned a sort of desolation when Christ was tempted by the devil. And she said that Christ was the finger of God's greenness who defeated the agent of evil on the mountaintop. Real quick, though, I do want to kind of talk about Christ with her a little more, because I feel like we haven't enough in this episode. Let's just talk about how she discussed the incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection really briefly. Just some quotes. So she used viriditas, or greening, for all of these. So the incarnation, she says, "For in this greenness, mercy and love found common ground. The Creator's word took on flesh, putting on a green garment." So you see here, greenness isn't just the word for revival or sustenance. She uses green for all of it, even putting on this green garment, putting on a garment of rejuvenation. For the crucifixion, which is interesting, then came the bitter suffering and harsh death. This was the time when greenness was severely oppressed, and through his death, life sprang forth for all the world. So here, during the crucifixion, the rejuvenation was oppressed. It wasn't removed, it was oppressed. But later, the resurrection, that would be defeated. But in that moment, greenness still sprang forth because he did make that sacrifice. The resurrection, he returned to his celestial home and the greenness of his divinity revealed itself. Thus the stone was rolled away from the tomb and life burst forth anew. Just being a nerd, the use of burst here is beautiful. Burst is used sparingly in the Bible when we want to talk about impact. The blood and water which came from Christ's side burst from his side, renewing life. So here, life bursts anew when the stone was rolled away and greenness revealed itself, the greenness of his divinity, which is more interesting because this isn't just greenness came because Christ paid a sacrifice. No, greenness came because Christ is divine, and now through Christ's greenness, through his ability to sustain and rejuvenate and give life, now it is revealed, and now we can connect with him through the Holy Spirit, and so on. If you have not read any of Hildegard's work, I do recommend reading her work directly, especially her work on her visions and her exegesis of those visions, because there's a lot on things like the incarnation, as well as the end times. That's something that's often glossed over, is her views on the final days and Judgment Day. I'm going to save that topic for Patreon, though. Also, if you are interested in more Hildegard, because there's so much more we can say, join the Patreon. I do have some bonus content, including work on the Judgment Day, but also we are going to do a download of some of her herbal remedies, as well as some of her other work, and some bonus episodes on her writings as well. So check us out there. But I do hope you've enjoyed this brief episode on her concept of greening, and I hope that now you see God's force and how it works within us, how it connects us all, and how it's something that can both be utilized and nurtured, but also how it's working even beyond us too. As always, let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear God, your servant Hildegard showed us we are all connected in beautiful, deep ways. We are all bodies within the body of Christ, your beloved Son, your Word, who you sent forth to show us how to love, to show us how our actions can lift up one another. And through Hildegard, now we know that our interconnectedness can spring forth something within us, something that can bloom, and most importantly, something that can bring us closer to you. Assist us with your radiance, with your coolness, with your soft touch. Allow us to grow. Allow us to green. Amen. St. Hildegard von Bingen, pray for us. Thank you for listening to another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue. I have been your host, W. God bless you, and take care.